Come on, give it up for Jason. Isn't this great that he's here? I love this guy. So there was a little switch for tonight because we said that we had David Kennedy tonight, but he was last night because he had to rush home for a family thing. So Michelle's replacing David. My opinion, it's a better replacement. So just saying. Just saying. Thank you. Thanks, Peter. One person clapped. If they come to our class, they all fail. So, we're going to keep the schedule going as we can, as quickly as we can. And my suggestion is, if you want to hear the talks, to not leave unless you have to like empty your bladder, because literally all day we've had a line like around the building, and when you leave, then it's all over. You know, you lose your seat, and the goons don't let you back in. So, my suggestion is to stick it out if you can. Anyhow, that's all the other stuff. Oh, and everyone's been asking. Tomorrow, the podcast is 10:30. 10:30. So if you want to be part of that, come in the room. We're going to do that 10:30 in the morning. I know it's Sunday at 10:30, but sorry. Okay. Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, darn it. Anyhow, adorable. You see this face? It's adorable. And that's what his talk is all about, is how to use adorableness to get what you want. Jason is a social engineer, the very epitome of the word, travels around the globe breaking into places. So this is going to be a kind of a very informal, impromptu speech where he's just going to talk to you guys. You're going to get to know Jason a little bit. If you don't know him already, you're really going to enjoy this. Anyhow, everyone, give it up. Nice round of applause for Jason Street.
First of all, let me correct some myths real quick, okay? I am not a professional social engineer, okay? Chris is a professional. There's so many others out there. I do this stuff for fun, and for some reason, it's like it works out. So, and that's one of the parts that I want to talk about the talk, because we'll start off on the serious thing just to get it going. It's like, how many people here understand that when you go home, your plane's going to crash and you're going to die? Who's thinking about that? Who's thinking about as soon as you get to work and stuff, there's going to be a guy there at a gun at the front of the office to shoot you? Those aren't happy thoughts. Those don't make you feel good. So what do? We don't think about those. My whole ability to do what I do is working on the thing that when the person's on the other side of the counter, they're not thinking those things either. When this guy shows up in a suit and he's trying to do a job interview, they're not thinking, he's going to hack my network. What does he have in his pockets? Why is there a vest under that suit jacket? It's like they don't ask those questions because no one wants to think about the bad stuff. We all want to be able to have, if I can give you a reasonable explanation. And sometimes I have not given any kind of resembling a reasonable explanation. It's still better than thinking of the bad thing. So they'll go with that. I'm going to tell a lot of stories just because, to fill time and do some stuff to give you some things to ask questions about. One of my favorite ones about being adorable and stuff, because I tell people when I'm traveling internationally, it's like I have to apologize because I'm from America, so I speak American, not English. And I'm from Texas, so I don't speak it very well. And that's all there is to it. So when I've done successful social engineering engagements in different countries around the world. And one of the funniest ones was I was in Amman, Jordan, and I'm breaking into a bank and I'm plugging in a Hack5 rubber ducky into their terminal. And the manager, and I don't speak Arabic, I don't speak French, which are the two predominant languages. It's like I was wearing a leather jacket that said DEFCON on the back, khaki pants, and Thundercat tennis shoes. I like to come with warning labels. And all I'm doing the whole time is I'm smiling, going, oh, I know, I shouldn't be doing this. It's like, but you can talk to the manager. It's okay, I'm sure. It's like, I'm going to do it. And she's like, and I plug it in. And she's like, tell me, well, sir, it's like, you're right. I know. It's like, and I plug it into the next machine. Plugged it into four machines. Okay? The reason why it stopped was I was behind the teller line. And there was a stack of money beside the teller line. And I'm trying to plug it into the machine, but it's too close to the money. And she starts, and I told her, I said, no, I don't want the money. I don't care about the money. I just need to plug this into the computer. And she's like, no. So how do you get out of a situation like that? It's like, well, oh, no, don't worry. Well, I've got my letter. I've got my authorization. It's in the car. Let me go get it. And I just walk out, and I'm done. It's like, and so, I mean, because of the fact that it's like a bank, and this is one of the other things that we talk about. We talk about, like, users, like they're stupid. Users aren't stupid. Users aren't trained. A bank teller, if I would have gone into that same bank or any other bank, and I've done this to banks in the United States, which was even flimsy. I'll tell a story about that one. That was hilarious. It's like I go into a bank with a ski mask and a shotgun. What's going to happen? I'm going to have a bad day. It's like every single person in that bank, every employee knows exactly how to respond. They know what to do. They know how to react because they were trained on how to react if you're being robbed by a bank robber. They know how to protect themselves, okay, with bad guys and guns, but not geeks and USB drives. So that's what they need to be taught. They need to be trained. Users need to be trained these things. It's like, it's not that they're stupid, it's just they haven't been trained on it. I did a bank, it was actually in the Wired article on the West Coast. I was supposed to go into 10 banks, bank branches. I did four. At the fourth one, they stopped and told me to just, uncle. They said, okay, give up. Stop. Don't do any more. It's like, we've had enough. Because I was successful in all four of them. I went into each branch wearing a work shirt that said DEFCON on it and jeans. I said I was... extra credit. What was the lieutenant colonel in Stargate? Jack O'Neill. Yeah, so that's what I wrote down, Jack O'Neill. I used to use him a lot until I started telling everybody I'm Gregory D. Evans now. But yeah, I was saying I was Jack O'Neill. I made up a electrical company name in that city, and then I gave a fake phone number. I knew the area code. I had no idea what the number scheme was, so they were probably calling a pizza place if they tried that too. But I did everything correct. I registered. And then I went to the bank manager, and I said, yes, if you've noticed, we've been having brownouts at the main office and stuff, you know, because so I need to put in this white, you know, small device that says, you know, Pony Express on it for doing a monitoring of the TPC stack because it was doing a reorganization and stuff, you know, the packets because of brownout fluctuations of the capacitors that were going into the home office. So this is going to monitor that and stuff, you know, and give us those readings and stuff, you know, because we don't want any more TCP slipping. And they're like, sounds legit. So it's like, I actually got the bank manager at one branch to get up out of her chair so I could plug it in at her desk just because. It's like, I thought it was funny. It's like, the other thing I told them to do was I said, I need to check to make sure every one of your machines have a surge protector on it. So what did they do? They escorted me behind the teller line, through the drive-thru, the back offices, and where their money is. It's like the money's not in the big shiny silver thing, okay, the vault there. The money's like in this big cabinet, metal safe cabinet thing, which is wide open during business hours. And there was an exit door right beside it, and there was a 5 foot three foot girl escorting me. And I had a bag. What would have happened if I had a gun in there? What's the hardest part when you're robbing somebody? Not that I think this through, but yeah, I thought this through. It's escaping. The more that you're able to get into their defenses, the more you're able to get into the situation, the easier it is for you to get away with it. Bank robbers come in because they're stupid, you know, running in, screaming out. That starts all the alarms. I was in the back room right by the exit door. I'm in another county by the time they figure out they need to set an alarm. So it's like if I was going to do something that way. But I didn't do that because I'm not a violent person. I just, you know, stole all their data. So that's one of the things that we do. We don't expect those kind of things. And I come with, in every situation, I've come with warning labels. People want to say that doing these physical social engagements are like so on edge and you got to do all this stuff. And I'm the guy that says, dude, you walk in and say you need to use the bathroom. It's like I was in Beirut, Lebanon a couple of years doing an engagement of a whole bunch of branches there, bank branches there. And we had a meeting, and I was actually in a suit and under cat tennis shoes, but I was in a suit. And we were having a meeting with the executives. And I was getting totally dissed by them, okay? It's like they were like looking down at me because they're like, I mean, look at me. I'm not saying I blame them. I'm just saying I was a little irritated by it. And so they're asking these questions, and they're like, well, we don't think you're gonna be that successful. It's like, but you'll try to do this, and maybe you can do this. It's like, you know, and they were like, just, and I was like, it's like, when would you like to start? I was just in their corporate office. They had a branch on the bottom floor. I'd never been in this building. I've never talked to these people before. And I was like, I'll start right now. Let's go downstairs to your branch. And they're like, no recon. I had no get out of jail free cards, no forged emails, nothing. I walk downstairs. I get down there. They have these cubes with the glass panel so you can like see into it, but it's like, but there's still a little bit of privacy. And I see a machine that's the screen is unlocked and it's wide open and no one's there. I sit right down into it. Sit down, start working on it, plug in my rubber ducky. It's like doing some work. And the guy behind me sees me and he's like, he did okay. He's like, excuse me, can I help you? And so what do you do when you're challenged like that? You give them directions. So I get up and I say, excuse me, I'm doing an audit. I need you to get up out of your chair so I can look at your machine too. And what did he do? He got up out of his chair, and at that moment right there, I am validated because all the other coworkers saw this guy talk to me and then stand up and let me work on his computer. So I was just like, I just did a swath of cubicles through there, and then I went through behind the teller line, and I actually plugged it into a couple of the computers back there. The executives were like sort of down the hallway freaking out, right? It's like, and I was like, and then I come back and it's like, and I just go up to them. And I don't always try to be an arrogant douchebag, but sometimes there's instances. And I was like, okay, I'm done with this building. And I was. So that worked out really well. There's another one where it's like, another thing that we do about when you do red teaming and social engineering, and I don't do red teaming. It's like, I am not a red teamer, okay? Red teamers are like those ninjas that come in with all the equipment and all the other stuff, and they break networks and people and buildings, and that's awesome, okay? I'm purple team. It's like, I don't do red team engagements or penetration tests. I do social awareness, security awareness engagements. If I'm not also training and helping the people that I compromise, then it's not really good for me. So what I do is I usually a 3-day engagement. I spend the first 2 days just destroying everything I can. I lay waste to as much stuff as possible. And then on the third day, what do I do? No, I get caught. I spend the whole next day going to other branches or other floors and doing obvious things to get caught. Why is that? Because if we just keep showing negative, 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 it doesn't take. But if we show people, oh, this bad thing happened, this bad happened, but Susie in accounting, she caught them. And this is what she did to catch them. So it's like it creates those teachable moments. And that's the key thing. You've got to create teachable moments. If I just go out and do a pen test, what do I have to do? First of all, mother effing reports, which I hate, okay? It's like, so you're writing that report, and then it's got to go through all the chain of command. So 3 months later, a memo comes out from the company telling all their users, hey, remember 3 months ago that guy that looked like he maybe shouldn't have been there was bad, and you failed. What the, do they remember? No. So what I do, oh, this is going to lead to another story. So what I do is, I go in, I do as much damage as I can, even when I'm trying to do the compromise. I go in, lay waste, I leave that area, and I wait 2 minutes. 2 minutes proved that I successfully escaped. 2 minutes show that I got away with it and no one's coming after me, so I did good. Then I go back into that area, and there's usually, especially when I do the international, there's a representative with me who can translate and tell them what's going on. And then I explain to each person that I talk to, I explain to them, I'm a bad guy. I just did bad things, and you let me do those bad things, and here's how you shouldn't let me do those bad things again. That's a teachable moment. There's only been one time in my whole career that I did not go back after 2 minutes, and it was the most horriblest thing that I've ever done in my life. And I've broken into places in wheelchairs with no problem, okay? This was bad. It's like I'm in Kingston, Jamaica, and Jamaica is like just some facts and stuff. You know, Jamaica being the fifth deadliest country in the world, I wasn't in the tourist area, and they wanted me to, I'd already, the first 2 days, I'd broken into some places, and the last day, they wanted me to break into this other place, but we don't want you to get caught, we want you to break in. Their downtown facility, like freaking Fort Knox. So I'm like, I have to do recon. It's like, I mean, this is what, usually I give a client, I tell them, I'm going, my research and recon totally entails on every engagement, 2 hours on Google. That's what I do. That's how much effort I put into it. If I go, and this is my philosophy, and it's not everybody's philosophy, it doesn't always work, but it works for me. I don't want to show you how lead I am. That helps nobody. It's like showing you how cool and awful, then they go and say, oh, well, that's him. He got, no, I want to show you exactly how unbearably easy this is. This stuff is so easy, even I can do it. Okay, and I tell people I like doing social engineering because I don't like being technical. So I go and I do the 2 hours. It actually took an hour and 45 minutes to get a good thing going because I really needed to try to be successful, and which was the longest time I've ever done it. It's like usually it's about 30 minutes to an hour, and I've got the whole story, email, and everything ready to go. This was an hour and 45 minutes it took me, and I realized they have a charity organization that's right across the street. They're really great, honest people. They do a lot of good job and a lot of good work and stuff, you know, in Jamaica, helping underprivileged kids, helping their neighborhood and their community. They were awesome people, and they're like, this whole charity was there to help others. So, of course, those are the ones I wanted to target. So what I do is I have the local guy call up the charity. The reason why, they were using the same network. There was no segmentation, there was no nothing, so therefore, they were in scope. And they were right across the street. So, there you go. So, I have the local guy call him up, tell him that a TV producer from America was doing a documentary on corporations doing good in the community and wanted to talk with them. Then gets me on the phone, and I'm like, hey, yeah, how's it going? I was at dinner last night, and I heard about the marathon that you're going to be hosting and stuff. You know, you guys are wonderful. And I was going to pick on this other talk to this other corporation, but you guys are, like, actually doing an active force for good here. I want to talk to you. I want you on the show and stuff. My flight leaves at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning and stuff. You know, I just found out about you last night. Can you fit me in this afternoon? Oh, you can? Awesome. I'll be down there. Where's your location? Oh, it's here. Okay, awesome. So what do? I show up 20 minutes early. I go to the main branch. It's like, because I'm trying to get into the main office. Well, I get in there, and I'm like, I sign in. It's like, because they have, like, they had dead man traps. You know, it's like they have man traps, but I was looked at them as dead man because the guy had guns. They were like, I go to say, hey, I signed in. I need to go to the restroom. Because, you know, I drink a lot of Diet Pepsi. I always have to go to the restroom when I go to new buildings. And they're like, sure, let's take you. The guy escorts me, the guard, escorts me to their bathroom on the inside of the facility. I mean, I was really wondering if he was going to actually be in the same stall or if he was going to be nice enough to wait out. It was that secure. He waited out, by the way, in case you're wondering. So he goes, and it's like, and then I leave that, realizing that's not a good thing. So I have to go into the meeting with the lady. And I talked to her for about 5 minutes. I was like, hey, who's your biggest executive that works for the company that still works for this organization? Because I want to talk to him about it and get his take on it. Well, the chairman happened to be there. So they set me up and talked to me up there. And we went up to his office. And I started talking to him about what was going on. Within 5 minutes, I was like, you know what? I can talk to you all of this stuff. Let me show you some of the video clips that I've done. I have them here right on this USB drive. So let me plug this in and show it to you. Well, I plugged it in, and it started doing some weird error messages. How did that happen? It's like, I don't know. It's like, so he goes and calls their tech. I'm in trouble now because their tech is third party and not in scope. And so he's trying to hand my USB drive over to him to go plug it into another machine. I've already got his machine, so I'm already done. It's like, but he gives it to the tech, and I'm like saying, no, I can email it. I can email it to you. It's no big deal. And he's like, he really wants to see this video. You know, he's about to, you know, it's TV, right? And so he says, no, give it to us. So he gives it to the tech, and I'm like, well, there's other proprietary videos on there, so I'm going to have to go with him to make sure that he only goes into that one folder. What I had to do is I had to record what machine he went on, so after the end report, so, you know, I could say where he went. It's like, so we go into his area. He's domain admin for this client and like all the other clients, sticks it right in his Ubuntu machine, and guess what I found out? That my exploit works on Ubuntu. That was awesome. So, because up until that point, I thought it was just a Windows thing, but thank you, Ubuntu. It's very good in operability. I loved it. So I did that. I've now theoretically got admin on everything, so yay me. And then I have to go back, and I have to spend 15 minutes talking to these wonderful, generous people about how they're going to be on television. The lady gave me a book about her life. She's the Mother Teresa of Jamaica, and I'm exploiting them. And I'm like, and I halfway through, I kid you not, halfway through, I got all excited. I was like, oh yeah, we're gonna have a video. It's like, it's gonna be a montage where it's like, you start with the worker in the cube, and then it's gonna fade, and like go zoom through the office, and then it's gonna end up on the street with the people that you're actually helping and stuff. You know, I think that's gonna be, I mean, I was getting into it and stuff, right? So after about 15 more minutes, it's like we finished talking about the video. I promised them the email. Never once did they ask for my name or identification, what production company I was, what studio, what the... I'm on TV, right? I go downstairs, waiting 2 minutes outside on the curb, wait 3 minutes, 5 minutes, my driver comes over, sees me still there, and he's like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm not going back up there. I cannot tell those wonderful people what I just did. It's like, I literally was on the phone. I had to call the guy who hired me on the way back to the office saying, you're going to have to tell them what happened. I can't face them anymore. That was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. Well, not in my life, definitely. But I mean, for an engagement and stuff, you know, that was probably one of the worst things I've done. So, because it's just... The stories, it doesn't matter. If you actually believe it, if you can go in and do it, it's like, that's the key thing. It's not going in and saying it's like, oh, I've got this cover story, I've got this information, I've got all this stuff planned. That doesn't work. It's being able to go in and say, oh yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be here. Of course I am. It's like, there was one time, it's like, this was really bad. It's like, it might get me in trouble. As I was in Saudi Arabia. And it's like, and I was doing an engagement there, and I was talking, and I was supposed to be, it was like in this telecommunication area, but it was attached to this very high level, very rich person who may or may not have been in the royal family and stuff, you know, location. And so I was supposed to only be authorized to go into this one section. So I'm going through and I get into the network closet and I'm all happy and stuff, you know, I'm wearing my work shirt that says your company's computer guy, it's working great. But then I go through, and instead of going right to get into the rest of the commercial area, I went left because someone was coming out the door. I thought it was still in Target, so I went into the personal residence. So guess what? I'm going in there, and it's like, and I don't know what's happening. It's like I just noticed that all of a sudden the decor is extremely different. And there's a lock going out that way too. So now I'm in. So now I'm walking around trying to find an exit that actually works. And I stumble into this room, and this room has just, it's a huge screen TV. It's got like a video game systems. It's like, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. It's like, usually I would go like, oh my God, I want to die. This is awesome. Not at this moment. It's like, and there's this guy sitting there playing video games. What do you do at that situation? I asked him if he wanted to play two player. It's like, with that kind of confidence. Guess what? That whole story was a lie. I've never been to Saudi Arabia. But when you're social engineering, that's what you have to do. You have to be convincing. You have to be able to tell a story and have people actually believe what you're saying is true. It's like, that's why my wife hates me sometimes. I try very hard to be very honest at my house because I tell people, like, I lie for a living. I got to be very honest when I'm not getting paid to do it. But those are the kind of stories that you weld. If you have the confidence, people are going to believe those kind of stories, no matter how outlandish. I have done some of the weirdest stories saying, I went to a telecommunication in this other country, and I actually had a Microsoft badge on. Does everybody know SkyDog here? He's an awesome guy. At DerbyCon, he creates these really fake employee badges for like Stark Industries, Microsoft, Innotech. You know, it's like, so all these really cool badges. And I was like, well, I'm going to need some of those. So I'm here in this breaking into this place with a Microsoft badge telling people I'm an auditor. The name on it says Gregory D. Evans. The title was janitor. And I told people, it's like, you know what? We're doing a USB global policy write to make sure everybody's USBs are not able to do read-write. So I plugged in a USB drive on like 40 machines. It's like their policy didn't stop that. But it was with comments. No one bothered to look at the badge. How many people look to see what kind of badge you have on? There was one place where I actually did a check-in. It's like what I did was I checked in with I've got a German ID that I got from a conference in Germany. They were printing out a realistic, authentic-looking German national IDs. And I've got one that says, got my picture that says Gregory D. Evans on it. That's what I registered with at the front desk. Go in to do my interview. I leave, and I'm like, the lanyard broke. It's like, so here's, I need my ID, but here's the badge. So I go back out, I get a blank badge. There's nothing on either side of the badge, but it's got their lanyard on it. And then I'm then able to break into the other companies because they see the badge and the lanyard and they say, oh, he's supposed to be here. So I've told enough stories right now. I'm sure someone's gonna jog another one out of me later. So let's have some questions and interactions. Yes. Mike, should be a mic somewhere.
Hey, there you go. Jason.
Well, wait.
In the back.
Yeah.
Hey. How about the hotel we all, you, me, and Renegade hung out in on the roof? Do you want to cover that pen test?
I don't believe the statute of limitations are up, so I don't recall what you're saying.
Okay.
I don't remember that. I don't think I was a part of that, actually. Especially since it was in the city, theoretically. So, yeah.
Can you my question is about the differences in culture.
Yes.
So you're going all over the world and you're experiencing various cultures. Some cultures are more respective of authority. There are differences between the men and women in those countries.
Right.
And so how do you adjust to that? Do you do any preparation?
There are adjustments. If you're going into Asia and you're trying to go in, you dress up as a business suit, you're an American businessman coming over to look at an interest or something, you know, for your thing, you're going to be confused. It's like possibly jet lagged. It's like you need to come in. You've got a meeting. You've got papers. And the beautiful thing is you do it toward the afternoon, which means it's like 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning in the U.S. No one's going to wake up anybody to do authorization on that. In Europe, what I like to do is the authoritative role. It's like the auditor. It's like, and those are fun because when you go in there and you get challenged, it's like, excuse me, I have authorization to be here. If you don't know what I'm doing here, why are you asking me? You shouldn't even be questioning me. I've got authorization. You obviously don't have the authorization to know, so you need to step back. I won't put you on the report just now. I need to get finished doing what I need to do. That's our conversation. It's now over. So you change how that goes. It's like, and others is like, I mean, like, especially like in the Middle East, some of the friendliest people you're going to meet. It's like, I mean, it's like you're just like, oh yeah, I'm here. How's it going? It's like, you're smiling. You're like, you know, you're an American, so therefore you're not that smart. It's like, you know, oh, I'm supposed to be doing this. I don't know. It's like, can you help me into this door? I got lost. It's the squiggly lines. I don't read. It's like, help me. And they're like, come on, come over here. And I was like, thank you. So you do change the cultures. There are different cultures. There's different approaches. My DEF CON 18 talk, I talked a little bit about that. I talked about the different kind of cultures and the different approaches that you have. Yes, any other questions?
We have a question right over here.
Right. I'll get you next.
Are there any, when you write the contracts for the companies, does it say like you're going to bail me out of jail if I get arrested or something?
No, that's a good, very good question. You should always have, when you do these engagements, a get out of jail free letter. What that basically is a scope of work. It says, during this time period at this date, this person is authorized to do these certain things in this certain area for this company, and then phone numbers to contact the executives at any time if they get caught. You hand that to the police, which actually is a story that I've told a lot of times. I'm sure several people have already heard this one, but there was this one incident where I now carry two get out of jail free cards with me, because I was in a dumpster in Houston, which a lot of my stories end up in me in a dumpster for some reason. But it was Houston, Texas in 2000. I find bank blueprints inside the dumpster. It's a construction dumpster. If you have done any work in the financial industry, and you will know exactly how bad or awesome it was for me to find blueprints of the bank in the dumpster. So I'm trying to climb out of the dumpster so I can do my happy root dance, you know, because everybody's got their happy root dance, right? I'll be nice and not show it to you because there's kids present. But so I'm trying to climb out of this dumpster, and I see these blue and red lights, and I'm like, I didn't ask for disco lights for my happy root dance. What's going on? And then I hear, freeze! Let me see your hands. Mother, let me see your hands. I'm like, I'm coming out of a dumpster. but I'm in Texas, so I could die. So it's like, so I climb out carefully, and there's a guy, and he's like, he's got his gun out. And he's like, let me see your hands. What are you doing? And I'm like, dude. And stuff, you know, the plan's already gone. It's like, and the guy's like, the other guy doesn't seem as likely to kill me. So I turn around very slowly, reach into my back where my get out of jail free card was like, I'm reaching for a letter. Don't shoot me here. And it's like, and I'm like, and then I go and I like sort of sashay sideways over to the guy less likely to kill me. And I reach out and I'm like, I'm just getting the letter to him. And then he opens it up, looks at it. They're doing some kind of pen test here at the company. It's like, it's all good. Forget about it. And they leave. And that's when I had my epiphany. I now carry two get out of jail free cards. One of them is the authentic one. The other one has this nice paragraph that says, if you find this individual, give him any assistance that he requires. It's like, do not report anything because the engagement is ongoing. Don't write a report. Don't put it in your report. Don't do anything. But give him access to any area that he needs and help him with any removal of any equipment that he needs. I've actually had uniform security help me take servers out of the computer room and take them to my car. So I really love that paragraph.
Without trying to sound smarmy, I think I want to be you when I grow up. Can we talk afterwards? I want to swap conflict.
Okay, definitely. But dude, I haven't grown up yet, so.
And next time, I hope there's an actual definitely question, sure, all right? Or else you will not get the microphone, and I will send you out of the back of the door.
Was there any other questions, or do you want anybody to hear any stories? Okay, there we go. There you go. Thank you so
much. Have you ever had an engagement, I don't want to say like unsuccessful, but where they actually stopped you successfully and caught you, and how, you know?
Well, I like to say, I used to say I was 100% successful. I'm 99.9 by choice. And it's when I had my epiphany, and this is a great thing to have. I was doing a government agency in Virginia, and I was tasked to do the social and break in and do all that stuff. And so I was waiting in this, they said this had this whole building, and then they had like these three floors in this other building. So one of the guys, being a little bit of a jerk, directed me to try that other building first. Turns out that was the floor that they had their IT security staff on. So I'm like, oh, that was nice of them. So I'm waiting. It's like the two glass doors that go up this way, and then there's two entrances on the side, and they both have to be badged. So what I do is there's a trick that you do. So I'll show you this trick. It's like when you're waiting for someone to open up a door for you, you can't be stationary. Because when you're stationary, your movement's off when you're trying to walk to them. They know that. So I have to stand until someone gets in the door like this. So you stand like this. And then as soon as you hear the door, but I got one foot up and I got the other foot down, of course, because I'm still standing. It's like, and you just wait like this. And as soon as you hear the door open for the main room, or if another door behind you opened, or if another door in front of you opens, you're already moving. And then it's all good. And I dropped something. Oh, eep. So you're already got that natural gait going. So I'm there, I'm waiting, my leg's getting tired, I really hope someone gets back, and the door opens. I start walking. This lady comes in, she walks, opens up the door, it's like I'm walking right behind her, she looks at me, you know, it's like, I don't think you belong here. And so I do my social engineering countermeasures, hi, how's it going? And I keep walking in behind her. And I smile, so therefore, obviously, I'm not a bad guy. I have the ability to smile. The only time that you're a bad guy and you have the ability to smile, you have to have some kind of weapon in your hand because you're a psychopath. Otherwise, you're totally legit. So I walk in smiling, and I go. She goes one way. I go to the left. I then go and compromise three machines in three different offices. I get out of the third office. And I notice her talking to somebody down the hallway, and they're looking concerned, and they're looking at me. And I've got a decision to make. I'm successful. I've already gotten in. So I can go and say, run out the door now and go, ha-ha, victory! Or I can get caught. I can get them a win. I can give them a reward for actually judging. They messed up by letting me in, but they can redeem themselves because they're trying to think about it. They're actually thinking about it, and I can give them an example of what to do when something bad happens. I keep walking down the hallway, and I get into this one office with this one lady. I compromise her machine again, her machine too, and then this guy comes in. What are you doing? Oh, I'm here with the IT stuff. You know, we're doing a wire. No, you're not. We're with IT. Oh, well, I'm a consultant for hired by the title. Who hired you? This gentleman right here. It's like, I don't care. It's like, you're not touching. Stay away from the computers. Let me see. And so I was like, this is irritating. Here's my letter. So I actually give him the real letter because this guy looks scary and I'm in an agency that could, you know, do bad things. So I'm like, here. So he's like, so he takes it, and you know what he does? And I love this, and I thought it was awesome. He didn't call any of the numbers that I had on the letter, even though that wasn't the fake one. He's like, I'll call directly. He calls the line directly and gets authorization, finds out I'm supposed to be there. So he did a great job. That was a great teachable moment for people. I then went to the next building and compromised every floor that was there, including the guy's wife who hired me. I made sure I compromised her too because I'm like a very petty person. But so I still was successful. So that was 99.9% by choice. I was successful in an engagement. I highly suggest, guys, if you're doing security awareness programs, if you're doing pen test, you have to give them a victory. You have to give them something to work on. You have to show them that there is hope, that there's a way to make it better. Because if all you're doing is showing them where they fail, it's not going to end well because that's just what they have to work with. Show them where they can succeed. Show them where they can build up on it. Yes. Here's one right here. Thanks for bailing me out there on that one. Dude, it was going to get uncomfortable.
Are there any industries that are better at almost sketching you than others, or and what are the worst?
Dude, I've gone through banks, telecom. I've gone through. I broke into a state treasury once. It's like with NetraGuard, with Andrew, it's like he's here. It's like, I can't name what state and stuff, you know. I'm okay to tell the story. Okay, good. So the network team for NetraGuard totally pillaged the internal network of this state treasury somewhere in the United States. And they were pissed. And their union. So they were causing all kinds of ruckus and stuff. You know, I don't like this. And one of the things that they kept saying was, well, to do that, you'd have to physically get into our building. You'd have to physically be on site to do that and stuff, you know. And Adriel finally had enough of that. He's like, okay, Jason, can you come out here and do some stuff? So I go out there, and I notice one important thing. They have a very secured facility. Their main headquarters was awesome. Very well secured. And then they had a satellite office in an office building with a direct line to the internal network. Guys, I hate to tell you this, but no matter where you are geographically, this thing called the internet makes you connected. So I don't have to go after your headquarters. If you've got a satellite office in Kathmandu that has a direct line in that you trust. So I was telling them, I'm going to go, and I showed them the report, and they're like, say, but what I want to do now is I want to break into your office, and I'll show you. And this is what they did, because, you know, they like to play fair, right? It's the government. Okay, Jason, you can do that. But there's a couple of simple caveats you have to follow for it to be okay. And I'm like, okay. You can only do it after 5:30 at night. Okay. You can't use any tools to try to break into the door because it's an office building. That's not ours. We're only got one room in one office in there. So you can't try to break into any of the doors. I'm like, okay. You can't talk to anybody coming out of the building or going into the building because you don't know if they're one of our employees. So therefore, you're not allowed to say a word to anybody around the doors or anything to try to get you in. Okay. Once you're inside, you can only go into the public areas. Okay. It's like, you can talk to the cleaning crew. Okay. But only when they're in a public area. Okay. And you can only tell them the truth. You can't lie to them. Okay. So what did I do? It took me a minute. I've got all of this recorded on a video watch. It's like I had a video watch. I recorded the whole thing. Everything I say, I can back up. I have someone here that's actually seen the video. It's hilarious because it took me a minute and 45 seconds to get from the car to inside the building. It's like I walked around. I tried the first door to the side. It didn't open. I walk around to the front. What do? I take out my magical hacking device, an iPhone with Angry Birds. Okay, it's like, and just waited. Door opens, lady walks out, I walk in. I tell you right now, my battery was like at 7% by the time this engagement was over. Because once I got inside, I'm now in there for 2 hours. Because I can't go anywhere. So I'm drinking a lot of water, going to the restroom, drinking a lot of water, playing the video game, going to the restroom. It's like, I had more water then than I've had like in the last 6 years. It's like, and then finally I hear the cleaning staff upstairs in a public area. And I'm like, that's effing close enough. So I'm tired. So I go up there and I tell her the truth. I say, excuse me. It's like, I'm working late tonight, which I am. It's like, I left the building, and so I left the office, and I don't have my badge. And I left that office the day before because I was there doing an assessment and talking to them and stuff. So it's like, also true. I don't have my employee badge with me. I have a daytime employee job badge. I did not have it with me. It was still in Oklahoma. It's like, I just got into the restroom. I was drinking a lot of water. Okay. It's like, can you just let me back inside real quick? It's only going to take me a few minutes. It's only going to take me a few minutes to prove my point. It's like, can I do that real quick? Her response, sure, let's go. And I get inside. There were some very pissed off people at the state treasury, okay? So, but that's what happens. And this is one of the things that we have to deal with clients. Clients don't, how do you say it? It's really weird because I also know that this is going to record and other people are going to be watching it. Clients are great because they know that they know something's wrong, but at the same time, they're like, they don't want to know how bad it is. It's like going to the doctor and say, doctor, I think something's wrong, but I don't want to tell you all the symptoms because then it might be something really bad. And that would suck. So it's like, I mean, that doesn't work. So it's like, it's a very hard thing. It's like when you're social engineering the engagements, you're also social engineering your client. You're trying to make them okay with what's going on. I actually, a month ago, I was in the south of France breaking into a hotel there. And it was hilarious because this guy is paying me to come to this awesome place in the south of France to break into his hotel. I mean, he's got drivers. I got a couple of days to drive and tour afterwards. It's like he's paying for the engagements. The hotel is humongously awesome. And I get there, and I'm waiting for his phone call, and he calls me. He says, like, okay, no one else knows you're here except for one person. I can't let you get caught. I don't want you to do anything that might get you caught. I don't want you to interact with other employees. I don't want you to just, I want you to just observe and look around, but don't do anything that you could that would catch suspicion. And I'm like, so you want me to chill in my hotel room? Okay, it's like, so I hate to admit this, and it's like, because it's something that I really hate to admit, but I'll be honest with you. I can use tools on network computer thingies, right? And I'm frustrated. So I hate having to show that I can actually do hacking. So, but I'm pissed because I don't feel like I'm giving him enough. I mean, basically, I felt bad like he was just giving me a time to just go and do this. And it's like, just have fun. And I was like, I'm here to help you and help secure you. So I did the only thing I could do. I first broke out my iPad and I got onto their Wi-Fi and then I got onto their router, their Juniper network, and then I found what I used the ISSH app. This is an unjailbroken iPad, and I actually gained root access onto their router through my iPad. So I've got screenshots that I had to send to them. It's like, here's before I even got started. It's like, here's your devices. Then I break out the Kali, because, you know, we all break out the Kali. And it's like, and I start actually doing some very, very naughty things to their wireless and to their internal network, which was dual-homed on one machine, which was bad. So I do all that, and I'm thinking, okay, I feel a little bit better about myself. Still feel a little dirty because I had to do network stuff, and I don't like doing the network. I like doing the physical. But I'm okay with it. I gave him value. And then I was like, well, it's not enough. So what do? I wait till 3:00 in the morning. I put on my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pajama bottoms, barefoot, t-shirt, and I go out to the lobby and I'm like, I'm just jet lagged. I'm gonna go walking around trying to get some fresh air. I'm like, and the security's like sort of curious at this moment. So he's like, cause he was sitting in the lobby. He's like, what are you doing? So when I walk out, I like shuffle out. I'm like, it's like, and I start walking to the ground. He goes over to the security booth, obviously look at the cameras to see what I'm doing. Spend 15 minutes walking through their gardens. It's a nice hotel. So they've got these gardens. I'm walking through that, and I'm walking around in a circle until I get to their other side of the building where the employee entrance is, and it's open. I spend 30 minutes barefoot in their internal underground facility that's connected to the other complexes and stuff, wandering around, finding the wiring closet, finding the other areas, finding their offices. I'm having, and the whole time I'm doing this, there's these cameras in the hallway. I'm walking by, I'm going like this. As I walk by, there's a guy in barefoot and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pajamas. That might be a sign. That's all I'm saying. So I finished doing that, proving that I got in, proving that I got access. So I need to get out. Well, I could just walk out the back door, but that's not fun. And trust me, I do a lot of this stuff for the lulz. So I go and find the room service employee. I go immediately up to him and I'm like, what am I doing here? I don't think I should be here. How did I get here? And it's like, and he's like, I need to I shouldn't be, I need to go. And so he puts me in the employee elevator that puts me up to the first floor into their corporate offices where all their desk offices doors are open. One of the computers was unlocked and there was hotel keys on the desk. Great room service there. I highly recommend it. 5 out of 5 stars, okay? It's like, so I do that. And then I go back at 11 o'clock that morning when there's all these employees and I go back in. Well, first of all, when I go back in, I do the loop again. There's a guy smoking right out by the door. Well, I have to do social engineering countermeasures there, but I'm in France. So I have to alter my tactics and deploy a different countermeasure. Bonjour. It's like, and then I walk in. Okay? Well, at 3 a.m. is a lot different than 11 a.m. The area I walked through was the kitchen. So there was two people cooking as I walked by. So, of course, it's a bonjour, bonjour. And I keep going. 20 minutes I spent underground there. And then finally I went to an employee that was walking by. There was employees the whole time. And I've got a camera and I'm taking pictures. That, by the way, is called a warning sign, okay? So I go through there, and finally I stop this lady going back out. I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be here. I'm not sure how I got here. I need to leave here, and I'm American. And it's like, okay. It's like, and she walks me out. So that provided, I think, enough return on the investment to the owner and stuff, you know, to show him what was going on. But he didn't want that at first. It's like, because you're afraid, because it's like you don't know what's going to happen, the ramifications. That's why you have to fight for that. It's like, because you're not doing anybody any good. It's like if they ask for a pen test and all you do is an NMAP scan or a Nessus scan or a NexPo scan or a Core Impact scan and give them a report and saying, here, we pwned you. That doesn't help them. Give them teachable moments. Give them things that they can actually impact their daily lives, showing the workers that are actually on the ground the dangers, and then you've made a difference. Because quite frankly, if you're not in this business to make a difference, you're in the wrong business. I'm trying to help people, and I help people by being a very bad guy, and it works for me. So, yes.
Another question. Recently, Dan Gere presented at Black Hat about software vulnerabilities, and he said that there is a point in looking for software vulnerabilities if they are rare, and once they are fixed, we are actually improving on the situation. But if all software is ridden with them, there is no point actually for looking for vulnerabilities because there will always be new ones. So I'm trying to apply it here to what you are telling. Are there actual, in your understanding of this area, are there actual concrete vulnerabilities with regards to this that once they are addressed will significantly improve the situation? Or even after security awareness, after the social engineering that you are doing, everything has been fixed, still, the next guy will walk in and be.
You got retention. You've got people coming in. You've got attrition. Right. You got a point. This
I'm
is what you
for
do.
The same organization.
Right. This is one of the things that people need to start understanding when you're in a corporation. If you want to protect yourself from a social engineering attack, two of the biggest things that you have to make sure that they understand. First of all, and ask yourself this: no show of hands. Ask yourself this: in your company right now, do you know the phone number or extension that you're supposed to call if you see a suspicious email, unusual activity, or someone in the facility that you don't recognize? Do you have a number, and do you know that number? That will fix so many of those problems. Because guess what? Your employees, they're not a hindrance. They're the biggest intrusion detection system you're ever going to have if you fine-tune it and you actually get it up and running. And that's the way you need to use them as. You need to look at them as an asset to be used for your security program and not as something that's causing the security incidents. So that's one of the things that you need to focus on. Make sure that they understand. We want you to look at something. I've got a guy at my day job. He sends me email after email. And I'm not talking like suspicious emails. He sends me spam, people. Okay? If you ever need, you know, a lo-fi mortgage, you need freaking Viagra, I'm the dude, okay? Because I'm getting it from all over. So what do I do every time he sends it to me? Thank you. This guy has actually sent me spam from his home email account. Hey, this is a new one I haven't seen before. I thought you'd want to see it. Thanks. You know, but that's what I do. I say thank you every single time. Because you know what he does? He goes and tells all his coworkers, yeah, I help information security. I'm one of the guys that they, you know, send out when they get these emails to help fine tune it so you don't get as much spam. That's what I do. And then the other employees are going, he's like, oh, there's an information security team. I did not know that, you know? And they become aware of what they're supposed to do. So that's one of the key things that you need to do. It's like you need to get the users engaged. Make sure that information security is not a hindrance, or, well, we're always going to be a hindrance, just a hindrance, but also something that's going to facilitate and help them do their job. I can rant for hours. Yes. My next book, huh? Oh, book. Oh, that was out of left field. Actually, we just finished the fictional section of the second book. It's, if anybody's not aware, it's like I co-wrote Dissecting the Hack, The Forbidden Network. It's a three-part trilogy. The second part is Dissecting the Hack, The Verboten Network, which is German for forbidden. The third one's going to be called the Interdite Network, which is French for forbidden, because I'm not original. I just named it Forbidden all three times. But the second book is going to be coming out. It's going to cover advanced topics and advanced techniques. The first one was an intro to hacking. The second one's going to be advanced techniques. The third one's going to be social engineering and disaster recovery business continuity plan. So it should be out by the end of this year, hopefully. But we're almost finishing. It's being edited right now. Yes. I've got children. It's like, no, honey, I trust me, I would not lie to you. If you touch that, it electrocutes people in Bulgaria, and that's horrible. You don't want to do that.
Always be safe.
Awesome. Am I supposed to just stop?
Or? One more question.
Okay. But seriously, I'm sorry, let me finish seriously. I was being stupid. So to practice on it, it's like you either get a team, a group of people, and stuff, you know, and you just tell stories, or you go to the mall and you do stupid stuff. Because one of the biggest things that impedes you on social engineering is embarrassment. You have to work on the fact, go up to people and ask them for 35 cents. And then if they try to give you a dollar or 50 cents, say, no, could you break it? I need 35 cents. I don't need a dollar. I need you to give me 35 cents, please. It's like, come up with a story on that. You have to be able to be not embarrassed. You have to be able to say, you know, hey, how's it going? Can I borrow your badge for a second? It's for the scavenger hunt. I really need it. If I'm going to lose if you don't give me that badge. I'm serious. Would I lie to you? I thought we had something. Remember the $20 I gave you 3 weeks ago? You're not even letting me borrow the badge for a second. I'll let you hold on to it. Thank you. Sheesh. I thought we had something. And that's how you do it. You practice. And you just don't get embarrassed. Ooh, okay. Oh, that's awesome. I got the stop talking card.
Jason.
That's one thing about the social engineering village. They're subtle. Okay, one more question because I don't really follow the rules. So, yes.
First of all, thanks for being here. You're awesome. But I just wanted to know if you ever pre-stage references, phone numbers, or friends to call to verify that.
No, with the get out of jail free card, you always get a burner phone with the number. It's like when I was in Jamaica, we actually had a guy that it was the first time anybody ever called the number. I've gone through so many freaking go plans, it's annoying. But in Jamaica, they actually called the guy. And the guy was able to go, oh yeah, this is me. Yeah, we're totally cool. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, love through. So, but they did call once, so good for them on that one. No problem. Okay, thanks guys.